Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King on the throne, that you are Lord and there is no other. What a morning, God. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for leading us into your presence. Father, we thank you for joy, for peace, for freedom. We thank you for passion, God. Lord, we thank you for life. We declare you are the Lord of life over this house, God. Father, give me words to share. I pray for wisdom from you and receptivity on each of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I love how he brings the threads together. Hey, it's so cool. I had this word about 2 months ago when I was in the Word and reading in Acts, and I felt to pull out a word on boldness, if you will, on confidence. And lo and behold, we get here this morning, and Jason's first song, the team are doing it, You Make Me Brave, and he was prophesying over us, you know, to actually, that he feels that God is calling us to be more brave, to step out. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, thank you, Lord. You're so good. Your timing is perfect. I didn't have a piece to bring this in the last couple of months, but I felt that this week it was the time to do that. Can we shoot that up? Awesome. Thanks, Carrie. It's coming, right? Yeah. So this morning, we're going to explore that, and we're going to get into the Word quite a bit. So I've got a lot of the things on the visuals, but if you have your Bible or your Bible on app, you'll want to kind of get that out. Because I do want to bring a bit of teaching on this aspect of boldness, if you will, and really taking starting point from that verse in Acts chapter 4, where it's talking about the apostles, and it says that each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaimed the word of God with great boldness. Now, they had been walking in boldness, because they'd been preaching in the temple court, so they'd been arrested by the teachers of the law, by the Jewish high priests, and they had been, you know, basically given a stern talking to. And then when they returned, they gathered with the church and they prayed for more boldness. So they had been acting in boldness, speaking in boldness, and yet they prayed for more boldness. And it says in this passage that as they were praying, the ground shook and the Holy Spirit came upon them. It was the second public demonstration of the Holy Spirit coming. The first time, as you know, they were in the upper room praying together, and the Holy Spirit came and as tongues on fire, and they began speaking in different kinds of tongues. That was the outworking of that first. And this time we see that the outworking was actually that they became even more bold. You know, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we actually are empowered and strengthened to step out with more boldness. And the word that is used there, if you have a Passion translation of the Bible, you'll see that there is a big long footnote, which got me started on this thread, that talks about this word boldness. And the Greek word is paresia. It's made up of two words, pa, meaning all, and rhesis, meaning speech. Paresia, all speech. Basically, it means there's freedom of speech. And in our nation today, there are some things coming against our freedom of speech, as we've heard this morning. It's becoming more and more difficult to be a believer, a Christian, someone who has traditional views on various things in life, like the sanctity of life, like marriage and family. It's becoming more and more difficult to hold those views in a public sphere, in a public way. Freedom of speech is being attacked. But the Lord says that we have freedom of speech. We can actually pray for boldness. We can step out in boldness. And so I want to explore this phrase a little bit this morning. Is that okay? And just I guess explore what it looks like for us, what it might look like for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus in Australia, in Queensland, in 2018, coming into 2019, to walk with boldness, to speak with boldness, and also integrity and love. Because that's what we're called to do, hey? This word, parousia, actually doesn't just mean boldness. It means a few different things. And I'm going to try and click this, but... Hello? I'm not sure that that's going to work. I might have to ask Carrie to... What's there? Oh, was that you or me? Okay. All right, Carrie, let's hit that up. Where this parousia actually is translated in as a number of different words, okay? That it means publicly, okay? In John chapter 7, you know, no one would say anything publicly about him. And the teachers of the law said in verse 26, here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Okay, it means publicly. It also means plainly. All right, Jesus, in speaking to the teachers of the law, they're getting frustrated with him, and they're saying, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly or simply. And my apologies for the small text there. Tell us plainly or simply, okay? Make it make it as plain as possible. In John 11, verse 14, Jesus is talking to the disciples about Lazarus, and it says, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. In John 16, 29, Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly or plainly and without figures of speech. So this idea, this word parousia, which means boldness, also means publicly or plainly or clearly or simply. Boldly, we mentioned before, thanks Carrie, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:12, we have boldness through him. We have parousia through him. And free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. 2 Corinthians 3:12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. So because Jesus has made a way for us, he has made access available to us to approach the Father, to be in relationship with the Father, because of that, we can have boldness. We can speak plainly. We can be public with our faith and our speech. You know, because of God's love for us, you know, because he loves us so much, he actually provides home for us. The Father brings us home and we are safe. And when we live out of the Father's house, we know that we are safe. But we're called to not play it safe. We have safety and security in who we are and our identity as sons and daughters of God. But then we're actually called to not play it safe in our lives. We're actually called to boldness, to, if you will, a public life, public speech, public demonstration. And we're called to make it plain, make it simple. As I was initially reading these words a few months ago, a couple of days later, I was watching one of the semi-finals of rugby league. Any rugby league fans? There's a couple here. So half of you may not get this reference, but let me just kind of give a bit of background. The commentators were talking about the forward pack. Now, in a rugby league team, the forward pack are the big, meaty guys. You know, they're more meatheads than the others on the team. And their job is to get the ball as far up the field as possible. And what was happening in this particular game was that, you know, for the first 20 minutes or so, the starting forwards, they go hard. They get their team a good start to the game, but then they get a rest. And they have the bench players come on and take their place. And in this particular game, the bench players had their run, and now the starting forwards were coming back. And the commentator made the comment that now that they have their starting forwards, they're actually going straight ahead. You know, there was momentum there. There was boldness. There was confidence as they went up the field. And so these forwards' job is to take the ball and hit it up. Okay, deliberately get smashed by the other team, but to get the ball as far up the field as possible. And sometimes you hear the comments that they're throwing the ball around too much because no one wants to go forward. The picture is of the team going forward so they can get in good field position. And that's a picture for the church, you know, in going forward, in actually taking those hit-ups, in stepping out in confidence and boldness, and just keeping the game simple and plain. Getting forward to get in good field position. What would it look like for you to grow in boldness? See, it's not the same for everyone. What would it look like for you to grow in boldness? This word parousia also means confidence, with confidence. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, parousia, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God. We have confidence. We live from the Father's house. We are safe. Therefore, we don't have to play it safe. 1 John 4:16 to 18. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. See, confidence is what replaces fear in our lives when God's love comes in. Fear was there. God's love comes in, rushes in, we are a changed person, and now we have confidence. When we receive His love, all fear is gone. The two cannot exist side by side. If you're feeling fearful, if I'm feeling fearful, I need to come under His love. I need to remember His love. I need to receive His love in a real way. And let that spur into confidence. So this sense of confidence, boldness, plain, simple, public, this freedom of speech, this parousia, is meant for us before the Lord. We approach the throne of grace with confidence. It's over every aspect of our lives. And it gets played out toward others as well. It's like eyes up, eyes in, eyes out. Parousia literally means from the heart to the heart. It's from what's inside. It's the real deal. Simply, plainly, clearly. And it's to the heart, with boldness, with confidence. This right to speak plainly, parousia, in Greek culture was reserved only for the highest rank of Greek citizens. The highest rank of Greek citizens could do this. We have a citizenship higher than any on this earth. Yeah. We might be sitting there going, well, that's all well and good, but what's the point? Yeah, okay, I can speak with boldness, I can speak clearly and freely, yep, but what's the point? Well, I want to share a little bit about freedom of speech being more than words. It's more than words. You know, there's nothing worse in Australian culture than someone who speaks freely, confidently and boldly about that which has no relevance to their lives. We call that the BS factor in Australia. That bloke's full of it, we say. So we don't want to be people that are full of it, do we? We want it to be real. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "For our gospel came to you not merely in the form of words, but in mighty power infused with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Surely you remember how we lived our lives transparently before you to encourage you." Dave brought a great word last week about those who believe. He said in the book of Mark, it says, you know, that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And some of us disqualify ourselves because, you know, we don't necessarily see the signs and wonders following us. But if you believe, you can expect that signs and wonders will follow your life. They will accompany you. And maybe you don't see them yet, but if you believe, then they will follow you. We can be expectant that signs and wonders would follow us. Signs and wonders come down to our lifestyle. You know, because it's more than the signs and wonders. It's authenticity. Speaking about authenticity here, Paul said, "Remember how we lived our lives transparently before you." How we lived our lives that you could see. You could see that what we taught was actually backed up by what we did, which included signs and wonders. It was an authentic lifestyle. It's a congruency, if you will. There's this terminology in mathematics called congruency. Any mathematicians here? Because I am not one. But basically, congruency means that everything adds up, all the angles. It's the same size or same shape, okay? Congruency. Now, a congruent life is when things add up. So you're living a life marked by freedom of speech and boldness and confidence, backed up with an authentic life, is congruency. Paul touched on this as he was farewelling the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. As he sent for them, I picture that they're on a beach and it might be a rainy afternoon like this, and he's just about to get on the ship to go elsewhere. He sent for the elders to come, and it says with many tears, they were saying goodbye because they knew that they would not see each other again. And Paul says, "You know how I lived." He's pointing towards his lifestyle. He's pointing towards transparency. He said, "I've not hesitated to preach." So he's stepped up with boldness and confidence. He hasn't backed off in what he says, but he's also backed it up with the way that he lived. "In everything I did, I showed you." In Paul's journeys, as he's standing before kings, in Acts chapter 26, he's before King Agrippa, and giving a reason for his faith, giving a defense. And he says these words. He says, "I can speak freely to him." Paul is filled with this boldness, with this confidence to speak freely to this king who has a power of life or death over him. And in the life of Solomon, I've just got to take you to this, guys. If you have your Bible, it's 1 Kings chapter 10. King Solomon, under King Solomon, Israel was probably the greatest in terms of territory and riches and wonder in the world that it's ever been. And so he would have people come and visit him. And this story tells the story of the Queen of Sheba coming up from Africa because she wanted to see this guy with this reputation. And it says that she came to test him with hard questions. Now, sometimes people come into our lives and they want to test us with hard questions. You know, sometimes we can feel a bit persecuted and got at, you know, and get real defensive and go, "Oh, what's going on? This opposition. Lord, what's going on? These are hard questions. But actually, for the Queen of Sheba and for many people, it's actually just what is behind it is a hunger for the truth. The people are hungry to know the truth and what makes us tick. Because she had heard of his life. She had heard of the wonder of Israel. And she came to see if it was the real deal. She came to see if there was congruency there. And we need to look for the hunger when we're getting a hard time. My parents here this morning? G'day. Okay. Hey, Mum and Dad. My parents would remember growing up, we grew up in a town called Tugan on the Gold Coast. And it was we lived quite close to the beach. And there was a group of guys that I would go surfing with that were just local lads. And they gave themselves a very clever name, kind of formed a bit of a club. I wasn't involved in the name-making decision process. But they called themselves the Tugan Turd Society. It's very lovely, isn't it? Or TTS. And they had it engraved in the road one day. But these guys I would surf with, and so I knew them. But I was a bit younger than them. I didn't really hang out with them too much. And as a teenager, going to church with Mum and Dad, they would notice that on Sunday mornings I'd be, you know, off around 9 o'clock and not hanging out at the beach until after lunch, sort of thing. And then so it kind of became known that I was one of them churchies, that I was religious in some way. And as a group, they kind of like cornered me one day and they go, What are you like? What's going on? And I said, oh well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And as a group, these guys ridiculed me. They it was all fun and games, but they're having a real go at me. And I remember that was the first time I really actually experienced that. But then something really interesting happened, is that this group of guys, of seven or eight different guys in the group, one by one at different times over the following weeks and months, when it was just me and him, they would actually open up to me and share things in their life that they were struggling with, or the fact that they actually believed in God as well. And I realized that there was a hunger that was in each of their lives that they weren't free to express as a group, but one-on-one, there was this hunger. So when we experience opposition, when we experience, you know, testing or hard questions, let's look for the hunger that's behind it. Remember, back in those days, or a little bit older than that, we would go with part of a group and do some street outreach in Surfers Paradise during Schoolies Week. It was in the days before Red Frogs. And we would just talk with people and share with them the love of God, and maybe even do some foot washing for people as a way to engage with them. And there was one man, one huge giant of a man, that came up to us one night, and he was very angry. He was very hostile. And luckily there were a couple of us guys there, but he was questioning us and he was really going at it with us. And I was ready to duck the swing. You know, if he was going to swing, it was like, we are gone. But he went away then, and one of the leaders made the remark. He said, that guy is close to the kingdom. I'm going, what? Because there was a hunger beneath the hostility, behind the opposition. And so this Queen of Sheba, she came to talk with Solomon about all that she had on her mind. And then it says that when she saw the wisdom that Solomon possessed, when she saw all his servants, when she saw the palace and everything, to her, and in that day, that meant that everything added up, everything lined up. It was a true testimony. You see, boldness means that we are free to preach what we practice. And we do it simply and plainly. Authenticity means that we practice what we preach. And when people see that in our lives, the penny drops, things add up. And like the Queen of Sheba, who said, what I had heard is true, but I didn't hear the half of it. how happy the people around you must be. Praise be to the Lord your God. This is a foreign dignitary who worships other gods coming to Israel saying, praise be to the Lord your God. And that's under the old covenant. How much more for us under the new covenant in Christ, that we can actually live lives that cause others to praise God. Jesus said it simply, a tree is known by his fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. All right, the tree makes the fruit. He also said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. See, a congruent life brings influence into the places and into the spaces that we are. The blessing of favor resting upon the righteous influences a city to lift it higher. And we are getting short on time, so I'm just going to jump on through here. Paul writes in Ephesians 4 from verse 11 about speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, because, you know, for most of us, we either get it one way or the other. You know, we speak the truth, but then we hurt feelings. I'm just speaking the truth. Yeah, but I don't feel very loved. Or we're so loving that we never speak the truth. So I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'm not going to actually. But Paul encourages us to speak the truth in love. We're going through the last slide there. Thanks, Carrie. And from verse 11, if I can find the right book here. From verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah. He's talking about the gifts that are given to the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. To prepare people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. You know, Jesus is the one that we're growing up into. Jesus is both perfect truth and perfect love. And it's through our life in him and through him that we are empowered, enabled to live lives that are authentic, that are simple, that are straight to the point, and to use words that echo those lives, that we can speak boldly, that we can speak plainly, that we can speak publicly. Let our lives, let our words add up. And I'm just going to leave you guys just with this last thought from Proverbs 16, where it says, nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words, for they release sweetness to our souls and inner healing to our spirits. God, we thank you for the freedom that you have won for us. God, we thank you that in you, we are set free to live clear lives, lives that are not convoluted or complicated, God. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. And Lord, thank you for the power of the gospel, Lord God. Lord, give us peace, give us rest. Lord, may we live lives from rest and bring influence from rest, God. No matter what station in life we are in, whether we're elderly or whether we're young, whether we're working full time or at university, wherever we're at, God, may our lives just be a song to you. And Lord, may they bring light to those around us so that they may praise you, our Father in heaven. We bless your name and we thank you for your goodness over our lives. Amen. So this week, we have Flame Tree Art Gallery in town, in C Square, and you're all invited to pop in. It'll be open from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. and featuring some art pieces from people in the house. And I'm just so excited about this expression of God's kingdom in our town. Hey. So also, there will be, we've got to just stay tuned, but there will be some prophetic team who will be on hand in that space, who are going to be available there for people from the public to come and just to pray for and to give words of knowledge and of love for her. So please be in prayer for that. And if you're in town in C Square, come and pop in between 10 and 5. And a reminder of the Street Art Festival is on next Sunday. Tonight, we've got Roger and Daphne sharing. Yeah. So come on out, 6 p.m. for that. And Tim looks like he's got something more to say.
For all the ladies, I neglected an announcement, and Andrew will have my head if I don't. This week at Ladies Group, 9:30 on Tuesday, we have Elise Pappas coming to speak. Those of you who don't know Elise, she is from Calvary Church. She actually oversees all the women's ministry pastors of Calvary in Australia. So she is coming to speak and to join you for worship on Tuesday morning. So please come along to that. 9:30 here on Tuesday. So bless you all. Have a wonderful afternoon and come back tonight. See you.